Welcome back, friends. Welcome to New World Next Year. I'm your co-host, James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I am your other co-host, James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. James, we're essentially about to go into our sixth calendar year of doing New World Next Week, and it's been such a pleasure and a privilege to be able to do these shows with you. I think originally when we were doing a lot of our year-end look-back episodes, I think a lot of times we were looking at specific stories and would even look at things like Project Censored or other things like that in the past. But I think as you and I do this more and as the stories seem to bear out the research that we do in a way, because as most of you guys have found out there over the last 10 years, the more you do this research for yourself, the more you can kind of, you've read the playbook and you can get a general sense of what's coming. So James, as you and I were just talking before we started to roll here, it doesn't seem like it's one story anymore, and it's general a forecast or a theme, and it's a lot of different stories. So you and I, when we go into these New World Next Year episodes, do not know what the other are going to talk about. So this makes it that much more interesting to do these. So what we typically do is we look back at the previous year and look ahead at the trend for the upcoming year. So as we look back at 2014, the trend I predicted this time last year was it was time for a do-it-yourself revolution, a DIY revolution. My honorable mention was absolute majority of Americans want GMO food to be labeled, so perhaps my honorable mention actually ended up being a little bit more important. But as we now wrap up 2014, James, it seems like there's a lot of things kind of swirling around in the meme stream media, and in a way I think they all kind of seem to fit together. I think it's the mainstreaming of conspiracy. So first, MH370 disappears in March, and then a few months later in July, MH17 shot down mysteriously over Ukraine, and then in September, there was speculation that some missing planes would return as terror weapons on the 9/11 anniversary. We covered the spread of superbugs months before the Ebola flu season hit, where we had quarantines and CDC employees lying about their background. The zombie apocalypse, James, is now just a matter of when, not if, for many people. It's the Walking Dead, indeed. There have been 36 dead banksters in 2014. Suicides, suspicious situations, and more, like organized crime hits by the mafia. Even as I was doing the research for this very episode, James, it's 1 week before Christmas, and I found this article from the Washington Post. "The elf on the shelf is preparing your child to live in a future police state," Professor warns. The paranoid style is back. So meanwhile, as if on cue to help out the helter-skelter Charles Manson, always seems to appear in the news as a sort of harbinger of unrest, just as he would do a few days before the Ferguson grand jury verdict came down and America put their hands up. Death to pigs, now being uttered again in the name of Michael Brown and Eric Garner. So what I'll call the crucifixation on the destruction of the black man is a whole other story, I think. But between secret tape recordings of racist owners and CCTV footage of wife beatings and Cosby Gate, there is something going down. I mean, James, what does it say about a year with the loss of two of our most beloved humorists, Bill Cosby and Robin Williams, each in different ways, but the destruction of both? And all our movies and TV shows are all about the state, Homeland, Blacklist, Chuck, The Interview. Feds and lawyers are your friends, even if they break the very laws they claim to uphold. So even at the quote-unquote highest levels, the puppets were shown on TV, our president is the most secretive guy around. As we reported here in this last year, the Freedom of Information Act was altered by a supposed lawyer from a supposed humble background. Mistrust seems to run rampant now through mainstream society. Everybody's got a theory, and they don't trust anyone anymore. That's at least those who are still kind of somewhat conscious. The rest of folks have pretty much checked out entirely. James, this is what I'm getting at. It's though we're in some repeat of the 1970s, where seemingly endless war that was really about drugs and resources divided a nation on purpose and brought on, yes, I'll say it, malaise. The 70s were a dark and paranoid time. I think it's not coincidental that it was also a golden age of music and film. But even looking beyond 2015, if I may, I predict we're on the track for a sort of pushback against the failed liberal policies of President Obama, blah, 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 and the fake conservatives will swing back in and the sad left will wake back up. And then I think we might see sort of a real helter-skelter class war. But we'll save that for next year's look back, James. Maybe to put it simply, perhaps the seeds of cognitive infiltration have finally sprouted.
What an interesting idea, because I think this ties in very, very interestingly to what I was talking about as the 2013 trend back when we were doing this last year. And I see what you're saying. I think that there is something in the zeitgeist right now that touches on all of those different points that you were making. And on the 1970s analogy, that's pretty interesting because I think economically there's a lot of things to be looking at that are similar, including the looming specter of some sort of inflationary cycle after the current deflationary cycle, which some people are predicting right now. At any rate, there was the oil crisis of the 70s. Right now we're facing a very, very different sort of oil crisis, but one that nonetheless threatens to plunge the whole economy into chaos and turmoil. So a lot of interesting parallels there. And then the idea of the mainstreaming of conspiracy, to me, that's interesting because it should be something that, yay, you know, people are picking up on it. And yet there's also the idea that mainstream is always a bit of a pejorative. And when these ideas are brought into the mainstream, generally they're brought with a lot of the details, the essence removed, defanged in some way. So I wonder if it's necessarily a good thing, an unmitigated good thing. I mean, maybe I shouldn't be so cynical about it, but that raises a lot of interesting points for me.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time I've been accused of being somewhat cynical in matters. So, James, as I throw it back to you, I'll remind folks out there, your look at 2014, when we were doing this 1 year ago, your prediction for the 2014 trend was popping the fiscal bubble, and that came with global tax reform and so much more. So that was your 2014 prediction, James.
And interestingly, we have seen some moves over the past year on the global tax reform basis. A lot of people signing onto the OECD global tax treaty that they're putting together behind the scenes. And now we're starting to see the formalization of the bail-in at the most recent G20. I'm going to be talking to Ellen Brown about that later this week. So very interesting stuff going on in that regard. But for 2014, the idea that I want to highlight, we can take from a specific story, at least we can get the idea. Did you know that the TPP talks were back underway in Washington earlier this month? I didn't. That story completely escaped me. But yes, earlier this month, the chief negotiators of 12 of the TPP party members did the talks, met in Washington to continue those talks, which a lot of people have thought have been basically scuttled or at any rate were facing huge hurdles over the past several months. But they're revived and they're still continuing to talk about it. And going into 2015, they're going to be continuing to do this. I think one of the big stories of 2014 that wasn't talked about, not just the TPP, although I think that is an important one, but all of the various trade deals that are being made right now behind the scenes that sometimes get a mention in the alt media as sort of this is something going on, you should be aware of it, but there hasn't been anything like the kind of concentrated firepower that we've seen on stories like an MH17 or whatever that people have talked about to no degree of to no end over the past year. A lot of these types of deals that are really going to fundamentally transform the fabric of our societies and the economies that underpin them is happening right now, virtually unscrutinized. And we see the effects of this in a lot of different scattered stories, like Eli Lilly suing the Canadian government over its rulings on some Eli Lilly patents, suing for, I believe, $500 million, or a German company, Vattenfall, suing the German government in the International Center for Settlement of Investment Disputes in Washington over the German government's decision to scrap nuclear power, suing for 4.7 billion euros, that's $6 billion. These types of things where corporations are now suing governments because of decisions that governments are making, and all of these types of things that are enabled by these secret treaties and trade deals that are being signed. There was one recently between China and Canada, one I believe just recently closed between China and Australia. Australia, these types of free trade agreements that are being done under the radar. I think this is a very important part of what's going on, and in some ways lines up with what I was talking about as the trend for 2014 last year. It's all part and parcel, these tax treaties, all of these deals that are going on behind the scenes at the G20, all of these types of free trade deals that they're working on. And I think this is something that I know it's not a sexy story. It's not, you know, as fun, quote unquote, to cover as something like an MH17 that's very easy to understand in some ways and very easy to kind of get your claws into. These are, you know, trade deals. How do you even talk about them? How do you report them? They're kind of nebulous. But I think we really need to start focusing on some of these things because, again, this is fundamentally transforming the economies of all our countries here in Japan and in the United States and in my home and native land of Canada. Everywhere is being woven into this web behind the scenes. And in a lot of ways, it's happening with very little scrutiny, even in the alternative media.
I think it's interesting that a lot of these trade deals, whether it's what's happening now or in the past, whether it's NAFTA and GATT and all those things, they get pushed in so-called progressive, Democrat, liberal administrations. And then the fruits really start to happen when again, the pendulum switches back and the other phony paradigm gets into power. So while, you know, we're basically looking at another, you know, the return of possibly another Bush here in America. So we just kind of see these swings going on. And again, behind the scenes, maybe not so many things are being paid attention to, just as you note there. So having said that, James, we'll look now at our trends, or I don't think we go so far as to say we're making predictions here, but looking at things that could happen and could accelerate, I think, as we look ahead into 2015. I think sometimes I'm just so fast I'm ahead of my time, James, and maybe 2015 will actually be sort of the year of DIY. But I'm seeing maybe a continuing trend into 2015, and I'm just going to say that it's full disclosure and the further exposure of the so-called elite. The UK pedophile scandal, the ongoing hack attacks, live leaks, document dumps, I think we're going to see more of our false idols fall hard, and I think it might be kind of awesome. There's surely going to be a bunch of collateral damage. That's us, the regular kind of people getting exposed in the crossfire. But in some way, I feel more kind of curtains being pulled back in 2015. Like the Latin phrase says, though, let justice be done, though the heavens fall. I think as we see this perhaps happening, as we see this, I don't want to say encroachment because it's already happened. It's already all encroached. I think the flip side to that is going to be unplugging. I think it's going to be the natural reaction, I think, to an invasive culture that takes more than it gives. And you're going to see a lot more people kind of cutting the cord and cutting out a lot of the unnecessary BS in our life, James.
Well, I certainly hope you're right about that. I mean, that's a good thing to at least be thinking about, because it is interesting that in the last few years, so many of these ideas like WikiLeaks and Edward Snowden and these stories that I think are limited hangouts and there's problems with them, yes, but they all hinge around this idea of exposure, of leaking, of the new technology that enables these types of things to happen, because I think that does hit on something in the zeitgeist. I mean, again, I think a lot of these stories are controlled in a certain way, but at least the idea is there for this to happen, and although I'm probably not expecting the inner sanctum skeletons to be let out of the closet, at any rate, there can be tectonic moves on the chessboard when these types of these whistleblowers and leaks and things happen. There is the possibility for that. So I think, I certainly hope you're right. I mean, it might be aspirational, but I give you my thumbs up on that. Let's hope there are some big moves in this coming year. And who knows, maybe some September 11th insider or whatever, there will be some major revelations or something.
And again, maybe it won't be, like I say, you know, the hopeful, you know, exposure of the real elites that actually make things happen. But maybe also just a sort of, you know, exposure of the kind of folks that people look up to for some reason. And if you maybe do see more about the industry and all of that, you might go, ah, this is all really gross and I don't want to have anything to do with it.
Well, actually, if we're talking about the 2016 race and Hillary Clinton, the skeletons in her closet are Bill Clinton and all of his things, which are remarkably similar to a lot of the Bill Cosby stories. I was just reading a story about this recently. It could be a very similar, they could, if they ever went after Bill Clinton, they could make a very similar sort of pylon in the media as they did with Bill Cosby this year with Bill Clinton. So that would be a very interesting playing out of this exact idea.
And again, we'll have to have that discussion 1 year from now. James, I want to also make the honorable mention, my sort of second choice as a trend for 2015, and again, in the quite real possibility that this will really be the one. Water will continue to become more valuable than oil. That's my other trend prediction for 2015 and all of that, all the things that kind of connects to. So James, I'll put it to you now for your trends for 2015.
Very interesting. Well, I also have an aspirational idea for 2015. Again, I'm not sure it will happen, but at any rate, it could happen, and it's really up to us to make it happen. Sort of like your 2014 prediction trend last year was for a DIY revolution. My 2015 hope, aspiration, is for 2015 to be a year where the alternative media stops focusing on the flow of events and the hoaxes and exposing each and every event. I think that's necessary, that's important. Of course, that will continue to happen, as it should. But if we spent even 10% as much of that energy on actually trying to make a difference in our communities, actually trying to do something that will actually transform the lives of real human beings instead of just putting things out on the internet and you know, just making all of our energy about that. So this comes to me because around this time of year, I always see these great videos by people in various alt media outlets putting out these wonderful videos about, you know, talking to people on the street and getting them to talk about things that they'd love to do to help someone else and then making them do it. And things like this, these types of great sort of videos that I think come around around Christmas time because, you know, we've all got the spirit of Christmas in our heart or whatever. And it's great to see that type of thing. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we could actually extend that out? And instead of having people associate truthers with crazy people waving placards and being angry all the time, how about if people associated truthers with, hey, those are those awesome guys that come around and, you know, help out at the soup kitchen or whatever it is. I mean, again, there's 100 trillion different ways that you can help out. And of course, it doesn't have to be, you know, giving money to the Red Cross or any of these other bogus agencies that pocket most of the money anyway. I mean, it has to be more about ourselves and the community and actually interacting with people personally. So, I mean, in the interest of putting my money where my mouth is or my time where my mouth is or whatever, I mean, obviously I want to be a part of this as well. And I hope the Corbett Report community will rally around this idea. So if Corbett Report members have any ideas of things that we can do, and it might be difficult, maybe it can't all be done because we're so geographically spread out, but just ideas of things that we can do to actually help other people and start building those communities that, regardless of what else is happening in the world, is going to be the thing that sees us through at the end of the day. Stop whining and scrutinizing and just following whatever is happening to us and actually making things happen for ourselves. And if that doesn't happen in 2015 or 2016 or 2017, then it's a lost cause anyway, and we might as well just be, you know, flapping our gums and doing nothing, because that's all it amounts to. So it's an aspirational trend. I hope that we can start doing something to go beyond just pointing out conspiracies and actually starting a conspiracy of our own to create a better world. I mean, that's ultimately where this has to be going.
James, I think in a way we've put a lot for not only ourselves, but also I think for the audience out there. And I think as this show has gone on, that's really, I think, what it's turned into. Because if we go back to October 2009, when you and I started this, YouTube wouldn't let us upload anything longer than 9 minutes and 59 seconds. So it was basically 3 stories and we got in and we got out and that was it. As the years have gone by and the amazing audience has grown and grown and grown, over, James, again, as I was sort of doing the research and digging back through the archives of this show over the last year or so, it's been longer than a year that we've actually been asking the audience to submit stories using hashtag New World Next Week on Twitter. And those tweets and those folks gave us so much news in 2014 from you, from all around the world. And I think we'll do more with those kind of best tweeters, if you will, in 2015. That's something I want to try and work on. But I think what you're kind of getting at, even maybe hopefully, shows in some way the progress or the trajectory of even a show like New World Next Week, is that it's gone from just being us saying, hey, can you believe they're doing this and that, to talking about the changes and things that we're making in our own lives and things that we're learning from folks out there. And again, hopefully pulling from the community. So yeah, that's
the good news next week that we started this past year.
That's true. That's true. So I think in a lot of these ways, I think you're kind of hitting it right there, and perhaps putting it on the record for 2015 will sort of reconfirm those ideas that, again, these are the things that we're fighting for in this information war. And that's why you and I will continue to do this, my friend.
Absolutely. Well, we'll do it together with all of the people out there who support this show, who are watching, who are tweeting their ideas, all of that. It is valuable, and we are creating some type of community, so hopefully it'll be the type of community we want to live in, because ultimately the world is what we're going to make of it. So on that hopefully positive note,
yeah.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. I hope you have an awesome holiday season. Very much looking forward to doing this all over again with you in the new year.
Thanks, buddy. Always a pleasure. Take care.